Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another fun episode. Pam and Ricky are going to join me. We're going to talk about all the new stuff happening down at Walt Disney World, my experience and thoughts with the Skyliner 1 week later, Epcot Forever, being there for the last Illuminations, and much more. So stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less Travel is the platinum earmarked agency you want to use for that next Disney vacation. And there are great deals out there right now for early 2020. That includes the springtime, great AP discounts, great gift of magic discounts on the rooms. There's a kid size free dining. Great specials going on now. Check out all the details over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Make your next vacation awesome. Work with the folks over at themagicforless.com. Also, this episode is brought to you by our friends over at Milk Snob. Originally seen on ABC's Shark Tank, Milk Snob can now be found at Target, Best Buy Baby, Nordstrom, their online site, and over 300 retailers around the world. Their original 5-in-1 cover can be used as a cover for infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. They also offer magical and galactic prints through their Disney and Star Wars partnerships and covers, blankets, crib sheets, and more. Today, they have launched their Little Explorers. This new print features iconic characters from the Rebel Alliance and the Empire against a cool gray background. Exclusively for our listeners, they're offering 20% off. So head over to MilkSnob.com and use the code BEOURGUEST20. Again, that's MilkSnob.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1549 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Hopefully you're having a great start to your weekend. Even as you commute to work here on a Friday, the weather has really churned for most places here in the country. It is awesome. Finally fall. It only took mid-October to actually get some comfortable weather to break out a hoodie maybe or get a run in without, sweating half your body weight off and, having some fall food. So we're going to have a fun time talking about lots of fall stuff happening down at Walt Disney World. I was just there this past week, and of course, I had my Friday show immediately recapping thoughts on my trip. I'm going to kind of look back and reflect on some other big news that people have been asking me questions about and talk about that stuff. Ricky will as well. Pam's going to chime in on all the new stuff happening. So we got a lot of fun topics to discuss today, so strap in for that. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, what's going on? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. You know, I have to say, I had one of the best fall trips that I've had in a really long time. Like, it went so well this time, and I'm so excited to share a little bit of what I learned. Granted, Mike won't let me talk about Halloween Horror Nights, so if you guys want to learn anything about that, message me, and I'll be happy to answer any questions of what I learned about this year's Halloween Horror Nights. So
I'm going to get you a trophy for going in the Ghostbusters house.
I did. I went in. So I don't do haunted houses, but I went in. So last year I did the Stranger Things house for the first time ever. That was my first ever haunted house. And then this year I got brave and I watched one of the videos before I went in the house. Literally, I was waiting in line for the house for Ghostbusters. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch the video. That way I know where all the scares are going to happen. And so I watched it. And my brother was very proud of me because I did not flinch once. So I knew exactly where the scares were coming from. And that was very nice. So anyway, it was awesome. I enjoyed it very much. And rawr! The chainsaws were out in force, let me tell you.
And who are you going to call? Pam Forrester.
Ghostbusters.
That's it. From the Magic for Less Travel, we have Pam. Pam, happy Friday and welcome finally to fall.
Happy Friday. And it is really fall here. I'm just already getting ready to complain. So,
You got to have it's actually, it's cooler here, but it's sunny. It's football weather finally because we've been sweating out the first four games. So it's nice. I like it.
It was rainy here today, so not fun.
Oh well, that's Pittsburgh. All right, so let's
Pittsburgh.
Let's okay. So just kind of recapping some thoughts. Of course, I went down last week for just State of Pop Century for 3 nights. 4 days. I want to get down there. I had 4 major goals on the trip. It was to ride the Skyliner when it opened. I hadn't seen Galaxy's Edge. These two were making fun of me because I was like, I was the only person left on the planet.
I like that I've seen Galaxy's Edge before you, a Star Wars fan. That's the part that I find to be the most funny, is that I've seen it before you had seen it.
And I'm not going to rehash like the stuff I talked about on last Friday's show, just kind of some new thoughts. I also wanted to see The Last Illuminations, my favorite ever fireworks show, and see the first Epcot Forever. So Skyliner, of course, that has been in the news this week with
a little bit
with the accident that happened at the Riviera station. Was that Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday night.
This past Saturday night. And the good news is nobody was hurt and the buckets hit. And I just want to have a quick conversation about kind of, you know, social media and all this stuff happening, you know, with Epcot Forever and with the Skyliner. You know, here's the thing. And this kind of goes, I just want to throw this out there. And, you know, I'm pretty positive on things. You've heard me talk here and give my opinions for the last 11 years. First of all, Epcot Forever, like I was, let's leave the Skyliner for a second, because this is kind of more minor. I love the show. And here's what I loved about Epcot Forever. They gave Disney fans something. And I know it's temporary, but you know what? They had this little, you know, segment of time before, after Illuminations, before Harmonious. And it was like, okay, Disney fans, we're going to tip our hat to you. We're going to give you what you want. They gave us the old Epcot music. They gave us a lot of fireworks. They gave us Walt speaking in the show. And here's the thing. I think you really do have to see it in person, because I've heard a lot of people that watch the stream, which they, you know, I'm glad they did a stream. But I think you really have to see the show in person to appreciate it, because of the, you know, it's just the kites aren't gigantic, but they look great in person. The fireworks are really impressive. They're colorful. You know, it's, there's a lot in the sky for you. It's a tight 10-minute show. And I hear everybody about the whole new world ending. Okay, I get that. Like, but the thing is, if you were there on opening night and all the Diz nerds were there, like my people, I was watching it with my people, man. I loved it. Lots of great Disney fans. And when Walt came on, like, there were almost tears. And I know people complain about there was like a kid narrating it. I don't care. Like, kids, like in Wishes, like they used to melt my heart. I'm, you know, I got a heart. I got a soul, people. And so when the kid starts talking, you know, I like and singing, I'm like, ooh, you know, it's like so cool. But let me just tell you. When Tapestry of Nations comes on, the drums, I was like looking around. I'm like, oh man, is the rotating drum coming out behind me? Where is it? Where is it? My head was on a swivel. Nope, it was just the music, but it was still enough. Like it was, it brought me back to those memories I had from 10 years ago. I thought it was amazing. It was a good show. Is it perfect? No, but I think people on social media, and I know this isn't like a lot of our audience, but I think it's hard to expect perfection all the time. Like would I have put A Whole New World on the end? Probably not. I could probably pick the better song, like as far as it fit in with all the old Epcot stuff. But the show was dang awesome. I loved it. And it wasn't perfect. But I mean, relax, people. It's a fireworks show. Like it was, I loved it. It was so fun. So don't rain on my parade. All right. So that
I'm
was.
I'm not going to rain on your parade. Hang on. You got to talk.
Okay, so go ahead, Ricky, and then we'll go to Pam. But I know, because Ricky, you were kind of like, oh, The Whole New World thing. Oh my gosh. I mean, I know Aladdin was probably like the movie that was coming out when they were making the show. I get it. Probably. I was trying to think about that.
Yes,
it probably
that's
was.
Exactly correct. Yes. No. Okay. So I have no problems with the first 3/4 of the show. The first 3/4 are great. I don't care about the kids. I don't care about any. The first 3/4 are great. The part that I'm like, whoa, and I granted, I did see the video, and I am giving it a lot of leeway to see it in person.
You have to.
But I can kind of judge the music on it, because the music I got to hear, you got to hear that. So I can judge the music part of it. Mm-hmm. So I think it would have worked better if they had meshed, and I get it. It's very heavy-handed what they're doing. The symbolism here is super in your face. It's like, haha, now it's gonna be a whole new world of Epcot, and also we're throwing in characters in the next show. So like, I get it. It's super heavy-handed what they're doing. And like, if they would have meshed in maybe a little bit of, you know, Illuminations music with A Whole New World and tied it and wove it in together, I think it would have worked better and there would be less outcry about the show. But just to go from all the great 80s, 90s, 2000s music that we've heard at Epcot to go from that to boom, characters was like, this is like a stark turnaround. And that was my problem with it, was just the stark turnaround. Again, I'm really excited to see it in person. I just think that they could have tweaked it a little and meshed it a little better, because it's just, it feels so out of place. That's my point. So.
But it's transitional, and I don't want to argue about it, but I'm just glad, like, nothing's going to be perfect, but this show is dang awesome, especially for something temporary.
Will ever be perfect.
No, it won't.
Compared to Illuminations. I get that. Everybody's got Illuminations.
Illuminations wasn't perfect. As much as I loved it, it was not perfect, because people, like, you know, the globe, it was hard to see at points. I get that. Like, it wasn't perfect, but it was awesome. You know, so.
So I'm sorry. I am one of the people who think that they should have meshed the music just a little better, and if they had done that, I think it would be a better show overall. I do like the majority of the show from what I saw, though. So, yes.
So, Pam, you saw the stream and you've heard the feedback. So what say you? I mean, I'm just glad they gave the Disney fans something. I get, like, say you're like a first timer that's never been to Epcot. You're gonna be like, what is, like, veggie fruit, and true. You know, and like, why are we listening to the land? You know, like, all that. Man, if you're like, if you don't know Epcot, you're like, what is going on here? These people are on drugs.
I think that that's probably why it's temporary and not the long-standing thing. But from what I saw, it really has something that's going to appeal to just about everyone who sees it. I think the kites are really cool. I love, even if that music doesn't mean something to you personally, I think it's music that everyone can still appreciate. I think Twitter and social media's favorite thing is to take something and be, you know, the Monday morning quarterback. I really, truly do. It just, there's so many positive things about it that I think we could focus on that and there would be enough there for everybody. So I think it's a win. I think they ought to take it as a win and count it as a win. If they make even, you know, the vocal minority kind of happy, they should take that as a win.
And it really did. I mean, it was so when I was watching it, I mean, and again, opening night, there was, you know, every blogger was there and you know, podcaster and everything. And, you know, the hardcore Disney fans were there. So It was a very slanted audience. But, you know, the folks I was watching it with and a lot of listeners of the show and friends, and, you know, it was just like it was almost like a greatest hits. Like, you know, like, oh, my gosh, it's like one little spark. And then it was like, oh, listen to the land. Universe of energy, rock on. Then when Tapestry of Dreams, people, whoa, I'm gonna cry, I love it so much. Like, it was just, you know, in a whole new world, it was kind of like, oh, okay, we've gone through an emotional thing here.
Such a wonderful wonderful end, and then
it was fine. It was really cool, and I know it's temporary, so I get it. It was great, because the thing is, like, you know, what is the typical, like, when they're looking at the Disney guest who goes to Walt Disney World, that's what Harmonious is for. It's going to be based on the movies and the characters, the princesses, the heroes, you know, and that's what we're going to get for the next 20 years. So strap in, people.
God,
it's got
20 years again.
Who knows? But I mean, it might, you know. So I'm just saying, for this one little year, this little piece of the timeline, I used to teach timelines to my sixth graders all the time. But this little speck that we're in right now, people, don't worry about a whole new world. Enjoy it. It's awesome. Just
I'll enjoy the first 3/4 and then I'll walk out.
Yeah, go ahead, leave. I don't care. Whatever. All right, so that's that. It's a great show, and you can see it really anywhere on the World Showcase. Again, we talked about that on Wednesday. Fun show. And you really don't have to get there early either, because you can see it anywhere. It's really nice. It's kind of a drive up, and boom, you're there. All right, well, don't drive up. Just walk up. You probably can't drive on the promenade. You'd be in trouble. So the Skyliner, as we got started.
Yes.
I recorded it. So I think I told the story when I recorded that Friday show, is that real quick, just for those that didn't listen, because it was, you know, maybe you missed it. I saw Fantasmic on Sunday night, the night the Skyliner opened, and I stayed till the end of the show. And if you've ever seen Fantasmic, you know it's in that theater. You know it's not the easiest thing to get out. And sometimes when you're leaving the theater, they let you get directly out to, like, they exit you out to, like, the parking lot. Nope, this time they exited you back out to Sunset. You had to go down Sunset to Hollywood, not the main entrance. So I stayed till the end of the show. I looked down, it was 8:30, and I was still in the theater. I was walking past the 60s buildings at Pop Century at 8:55. On the night the Skyliner opened. So, I mean, this thing just eats people. It is so efficient. And I had the same experience leaving the International Gateway at Epcot the next two nights. Now, when it does go down, don't get me wrong, like, it will stop. It was having stops at some point. And then, you know, obviously when there's a stop, nothing's happening. But when the system's running, this thing is just super efficient. I mean, I can't tell you 25 minutes from being inside the Fantasmic Theater to being back at my resort. And if I was staying in the 60s, I'd have been in my room. I was staying in the 80s, so it took me another, you know, 3 or 4 minutes to get to my room. But I was just like, hey, in 25 minutes, a bus probably wouldn't even have pulled up yet, you know, at the studios. Most likely means it's kind of roulette if your bus is there or not. The efficiency, and it, the thing is, too, with the Skyliner, I didn't talk about this on Friday. I think Walt would have loved this because he liked like monorails and unique transportation systems.
Yeah, what's a Skyliner or a gondola in Disneyland?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, through the Matterhorn and stuff. But I think he would have liked how the plan is right now.
There was one at Magic Kingdom, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So but here's the thing, too, is I thought about this more, really. The Skyliner is kind of like a ride to get to the rides. You know, it's like ride one. For me, because I was so scared to fly, this is how I see my Disney vacations. The plane ride is like it's a big ride for me to get down to Walt Disney World to have a vacation. And then, you know, I'm sad when my trip's over, but I always like I get to fly home. That's always fun. I can't believe I'm saying this because I used to hate flying.
I know.
It's awesome. I get my window seat. I see all the, you know, I see the Mississippi River. I can see where we are. I love that stuff. And so the Skyliner to me is like a ride to get to a ride. So, and I want to talk one other thing about the Skyliner, but Pam, what do you think about what you've seen so far as efficiency, feedback, what they might want to do better, you know, what people might want to consider when it comes to the Skyliner?
I think that, you know, there's been like everything Disney, as soon as it was announced, there was already people who had decided 8 million reasons why they didn't like it or it wasn't going to work or whatever. And I think that, you know, now in the first few days when people were there, the feedback was overwhelmingly positive, really and truly. It is a system that has, you know, it's located in Europe. There's lots of places that have things like that. There's ski resorts all over that have gondola systems. I mean, so there's really something about this that is going to work. And I really have to say, the more I saw it going in, the more I saw those buckets really going through the backdrops there for Walt Disney World, the more I loved it, the more I thought it was just a really, really cool thing to watch that happen and to be a part of and to see people there and to, you know, watch people start to get excited about it. I think it's just a cool thing that really sort of fits in with the Walt Disney World climate and the way that everything's laid out and how far away things are. It makes transportation easy. And here's why. When you think about it, it's not like a bus that you have to wait to come. It is always going.
It's like the Haunted Mansion.
It's a continuously loading system. And so therefore, you don't have that. And that's always going to be part of the equation, except on the off chances that you walk out of your room, walk right to the bus stop, and the bus just happens to be there, which doesn't happen all that often. More often than not, you're like, oh,
there it goes. There it goes.
Bus that I wanted for Hollywood Studios. So anyways, but I love that idea. So that really is going to take away part of your transportation time. It's going to take away a big part of it. So even if from door to door, it was exactly the same amount of time, it's still going to cut that time in half. And I think it's a novelty. I think that it's something that a lot of people are going to enjoy. I think that kids are going to enjoy it. I think adults are going to enjoy it. I think most people are going to want to ride it. Even people who are a little afraid of heights, I think once they get in it, it won't seem like that big of a deal. It feels very safe and all of that. So I don't think that there will be many people who are like, I can't do it. So hopefully we'll get past the snag. And that's the thing that Disney's great at, is figuring out how to adapt and move forward.
Yeah.
And let's just say this incident was ill-timed in the sense of you already had people who were already up in arms about the fact that they were building the Skyliner and, well, you'll never get me on the Skyliner because, you know, what happens if, you know? And so there were already people who were waiting for this moment to happen. And when it did, of course, they're going to jump on it and be like, well, no, I'm never getting on it again. And it's like, no. First of all, We've had accidents happen with buses at Walt Disney World. You can't say that we haven't. And unfortunately, we've had accidents that have happened with the monorails. So there have been accidents that have been happening with all of the Disney transportation systems in the past. It's just, unfortunately, this one happened so soon after it opened. You know what I'm saying? So, and everybody still rides the monorail and everybody still rides the Disney buses. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is. Absolutely enjoyed my experience on the Skyliner. I was not fearful at all. I do not love heights. However, I am fine when I am in an enclosed thing. Like if I'm in something and I'm high, I'm okay. If I'm like free floating a little bit, I'm not okay. So like this is fine for me. I felt safe. I felt, you know, I felt fine. I know everybody's worried about the heat and stuff like that. And okay, when it stopped, and I did have a few moments when it stopped, and I didn't have the luxury of being in the sky when it stopped. Or I guess that's a luxury. I should use that in quotes because a lot of people, that would freak them out. But I was in a station when I was stopped. And unfortunately, in the station, when you're stopped, it did get a little toasty. I will have to admit that it did. But, you know, it is what it is. We were only there for like 5 minutes. So, you know, just, it's a great transportation system. I know that people are fearful of it right now, but please don't be. It's going to be fine. It is fine. It is, like Mike said, it is so smooth. It is so quick. I mean, and you know what? Just make sure you use the bathroom before you get on the Skyliner. I mean, that's the biggest advice that I can give you right now is just use the bathroom. There's a bathroom at the station at Caribbean Beach. Go use the bathroom there if you need to, or, you know, one of the other bathrooms. But yeah, I mean, that's the best piece of advice I can give you.
Most people do have a very good understanding and a very good attitude about this. I think that, again, it's a small minority of folks who are very, like, use this as a, like, I told you that that wasn't going to work or that whatever. You know what I mean? I really think that most people really understand that this is just one of those things. And as far as the heat goes, by the way, I don't know if you've ever ridden a parking tram or walked outside when you're in, when it's in the middle of August, but it's hot there too. So
it is. Anyway. The wind, I will tell you, the wind does move through those gondolas. I mean, it really does whip through. Trust me. It almost knocked your head off.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it did knock my ears off. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's fine. I promise. It's fine.
And I mean, like I said, you know, with Epcot Forever, nothing's perfect. I mean, nothing is foolproof. Disney does everything they can, I'm sure, to make sure everything's safe. They have a lot of, you know, skin in the game that only by getting hurt. I mean, for obvious reasons, obviously they don't want their guests getting hurt, but I mean, obviously they're a business. You don't want that to happen ever. And they're going to do everything they can to keep it safe, and it's going to be safe. And like Ricky said, there's been monorail, you know, you just got to realize how many people get around Walt Disney World every single day. That nothing is going to be 100% perfect. It's just, you got to do what you can. And it's a great system. And I will say one other thing too, real quick about this is that, you know, when you're riding this, it's very social because it holds up to 10 people. You're on benches on either side. Mm-hmm. They hold up to 5 people per side. You know what I found is I have always said for the last 11 years, I like riding the Walt Disney World buses because you might be sitting next to somebody or across from somebody that's from Australia or from Ireland or from South Africa. And you don't get that opportunity when you live in Missouri. You know, it's pretty, you know, you don't get, you're landlocked. You know, we don't travel outside of our country very often if you're from the Midwest. And that's a great opportunity. And with the gondolas, you know, sometimes like I was traveling solo, so I did have my own gondola many times, but other times I was put in with other families and, you know, mixed groups. And it was great because we all kind of were, you know, you have something in common. You're on a Walt Disney World vacation. We talked about the Skyliner, our experiences, and it was very social and a different, you know, even more social than the buses, which I thought was really cool. It's a great opportunity to just kind of talk about where you're from, what you're doing on your vacation. The kids that I was on with, a couple kids, they were talking about stuff they loved. And I love that stuff. Like hearing a kid that's on a Disney vacation about what they're excited about. I mean, is there anything better than that? I mean, that's like the essence of happiness. You know, they're talking about, I got to meet R2-D2, you know, in the store. I got my picture with him. You know, I'm like, that's cool. You know, like, that's what I don't want to do when I was 7. You know, I think you can always find negatives in everything.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a lot easier at Walt Disney World to find positives. And, you know, think about it. If you're listening to the show and you've been, how lucky are you that you get to experience things like this? I mean, you got to realize sometimes you got to take a step back and say, even if you've gone once, you've gone one more time to a great place that many people never get to go to. So I'm off my soapbox
no,
here.
So good. Go
ahead, Ricky, close it up because I want to talk about Galaxy's Edge too.
Yeah, and you know, I know people are complaining, oh, it was 3.5 hours. They were stuck on that. Well, I've seen times when the monorail goes down, and again, people can be stuck on the monorail for a really long time as well. And again, sometimes those monorails get hot too, you know, especially if the air cuts off or whatever. I've seen the same things happen on the monorail, and people don't have a problem with the monorail. So just, it's going to be okay. I promise. Get on the gondolas. It's going to be okay.
And it was down like the one day, you know, because again, I was there like day one, day two, you know, day three of the system. And, you know, I was having issues between Pop and Art of Animation and Caribbean Beach, that line that gets you over to kind of the transfer. And it was fine. You just take a bus and you go where you're going to go. But it takes, even if you're not riding the Skyliner, it's going to benefit people because it's spreading people out. The people that are riding this, I'm not on a bus now, you know, like I'm on the Skyliner. So it's helping the people riding the buses. All right. So Galaxy's Edge, you guys have been. I feel like I was the last person in the world ever to go to a Galaxy's Edge.
You were. It's fine. No.
I'm a loser. So anyway, I got in there, and so I landed on a Sunday afternoon, and I went there on Sunday. I got to Pop Century, checked in, and went straight over to the studios to go on Galaxy's Edge. Man, this place is... I know some people say that there's not a lot going on, and I loved it, man. I feel like I was walking around like a combination of Tatooine, Endor, with all the sounds. I got my picture taken in front of that X-Wing. And when I was getting my picture taken, all of a sudden I look back there and Rey and Chewie and some other rebel is like working on it. There's smoke coming out of the engine. They're trying to fix it. I'm like, this is incredible. Like, and Chewie's walking around. I saw Rey three times that night, just walking around the land. You just don't see that other places. It was so immersive, and I didn't have any, you know, expectations to do anything. I wanted, like Ricky said, I wanted to walk the outside of the land, take it all in. And like the whole time I was like nervously kind of like tiptoeing around the land because I didn't really know. I have not done research on this because I didn't want to be spoiled 100%. So I'm like, oh my God, when I turn this corner, is the Millennium Falcon going to be there? Like, it's like, turn like, oh, okay, it's not there.
Where
it's not
is
there.
It?
Because it's
like
way back there.
With a giant thing that you're seeking. Yes.
Yes. Well, because I came in from like the Grand Avenue side. Like,
Yeah.
It was kind of a little ways back. So I'm just like walking past, like, it's just so cool. And, you know, just the sounds and how there's like even a spaceship way up high, you know, with its engine cranking and there's sounds like it's trying to take off. Unreal. So finally, I do around the corner and Chewie, I'm home moment. Yes, I saw the Millennium Falcon. I was like, oh my gosh, this is way bigger than I even expected. Like, I've been thinking about this thing.
Did you tear up, Mike? Did you tear up?
A little bit. Yeah. And I got to meet Lister Jeff, who's in the live chat, and he came up. We talked for a minute, but he was cool. He gave me my moment to kind of just soak it all in. We kind of went our own ways there after a couple minutes because I was just like taking it in. Like, this was my dream to be in a Star Wars movie. It's as close as I'll ever get. Loved it. Took about 1,000 pictures of the Millennium Falcon, you know, with me, with just the ship, with just everything, every angle. And my good buddy, we were down there. And so we had, when we got there, I want to throw this in there because before I got to riding the Smuggler's Run, I'm just trying to get some tips for folks that are going like I was, because I didn't know exactly what I was getting myself into because I stayed away from the spoilers. There's lots. First of all, the costuming of the cast members in the land is incredible. Now, they had to be hot. They said they weren't. I didn't ask, but another person next to me when I was in line did. They said, oh, you have to be dying in that costume. But of course, it's probably like Under Armour, you know, something like that. But ask the cast members to take your picture in front of the Falcon. And also, if you have Memory Maker, they'll take them, you know, professionally too. So I have so many pictures of that. But anyway, I was just getting ready to say, Robert and I met up down there. He was down there for work over in Tampa, drove over. His first time in the land, my first time in the land. We're like, let's do Smuggler's Run. So we did. And we did single rider because it was only 25 minutes at like 3 p.m. for Smuggler's Run, single rider.
Yeah.
Bargain of the century.
Yeah, that sounds about right, though. Yeah. Oh, so it's a people eater for sure.
Awesome. So, okay. Yeah. So we get in there. We're hoping maybe we'll get a ride together, you know, because sometimes you do if you're on single rider. Most times you won't. So we didn't. So I get up there, we're waiting. I'm just like so excited. Like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So I'm waiting there. And of course, there's a party of five. And so I'm single rider. I'm like, oh yeah, there's six. That's my key. Here I go. So they get me in with this family of five. And it's okay. So here, you got to picture my scenario. It's 2 8-year-old girls, their brother's 10, mom and grandma. Okay. So, and me. Okay. So we're the crew of the Falcon now. So two girls, pilots, the mom and the 10-year-old. Gunners, Grandma and I are the engineers in the back, man. We are in charge of engineering, Grandma and I. So Grandma was like just all there for the kids, had no clue what was going on. I love Grandma, though, because she was my fellow engineer. So we get in there, like when I, okay, so first of all, when you go in like to the, and you guys have seen this, you guys know, but like when I was in that like hallway where like they say, you know, Han says, Chewie, I'm home. I was like, dude, I can't, but this looks so real. Like I am in the Falcon. I'm thinking a thousand pictures, like people move, get out of the picture. So then you get in there, get my picture with the chess hologram, you know, chess set and us going around. Man, I was in my element so bad. Anyway, so then when you get to actually board the ship, and you actually get in that cockpit that has that such a unique view that you've seen your whole life. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I couldn't believe it. It was unreal. So I'm sitting in the very back with Grandma on the other side of me. I'm the right engineer. The girls, I don't know, like, because this is the only ride I got to do the whole trip because I was doing other stuff. I was mostly in Epcot. But, like, we didn't get all the stuff we were supposed to get. We didn't get, you know, we got one of the things we're supposed to get. And the girls were just like, they were just laughing. I don't know if they were doing what they're supposed to do as pilots. We did go to Lightspeed. I yelled at her. I'm like, pull on that stick.
Mike's yelling at children.
Probably shouldn't have said that. But I was totally yelling at Grandma because, like, you know, as the engineer, like, you got to watch the buttons on your side when they light up. You got to push them and stuff. And I'm like, Grandma, buttons, Grandma. And I'm pushing mine. I'm like, Grandma, engineer, buttons. We're lighting up over there. And so I'm telling Grandma and I are just like, but I'm pretty much just yelling at Grandma, like, come on, let's go. But it was a really cool experience. I liked it a lot. And again, I get motion sickness. Didn't get it on that ride. So much fun. I love it. You know, I know it's not perfect, but it's, again, back to that same thing. It's not a perfect ride, but dang, it was a fun ride. And dang, I wanted to sit on that flight deck for my entire life, and I got to. So, Pam, what are your thoughts? I mean, you've done it. I just thought, you know, again, I don't think anything's going to be perfect, but you don't know how long I've waited to sit on the Millennium Falcon's flight deck, and I got to do it that day.
So, I feel very much like you. I am still, like, wowed by the whole land. I really think it's beautiful. I think that when the new attraction opens up that, you know, it will be two lands. You know, when you think about it, it's weird that it's gotten a lot of criticism that there isn't a lot to do, but think about Toy Story Land.
Yeah.
It has it has three main attractions. It's I don't know. I would, the alien swirling saucers, although real cute, I don't, you know, it's
it is what it is, right?
They could have done like a Millennium Falcon type like Dumbo attraction, and then people have been happy then, or what? I don't know.
Like little TIE fighters,
So, but I think that for me, you know, when the other attraction opens up, there will be three attractions because I do consider the land an attraction in itself. I think that it just is for Star Wars people. And for other people, whether you're a Star Wars fan or not, I think that that land sort of envelops you in a way that there are a few other lands in all of Disney World do. I really, truly do. The attraction, I like the Millennium Falcon. I like the fact that it let me ride in the Millennium Falcon, if for nothing else. And you know what? I'll be wowed by that for 10 years from now.
Me too. I mean,
or 50 years from now, I'll still be excited about
it. Like, just thinking about it right now, just like when I got to see, you know, like that first view when you're looking out the glass of the Millennium Falcon flight deck. I was like, man, I've been there in my dreams, like when I was 10 and 12. And
when we went to Lightspeed, that was my moment. Yes. Like, I wanted to pinch myself. I really, truly did. You see that happening. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So it was really cool. And I think there will be things that I continue to find that land for years to come. I think the interaction with the people there hasn't gotten enough play, like with the characters that were there, Rey and the stormtroopers and everyone else who is there in the land, really hasn't gotten enough mention. And it's a really unique activity. And if you have the opportunity to interact, then you absolutely should do that because that's part of it as well. I think the stores there are beyond different than you'll find anywhere else. Really and truly, you're not going to find things that say Disney on them. Nope. And I like that too. I hope it continues. Well, it will continue if people get it. If they don't get it and continue to complain, then Disney will be put in a position where they do have to change that. But that's, I mean, you know, that's not something that I can worry about or deal with here or there. I think the fact that the land is a totally different experience at night than it is during the day is another huge plus for that. The photos, I mean, it's Instagrammable beyond belief.
Yes,
I think.
Man, so Instagrammable.
So pretty. And I am someone who is going to like it from now until, you know, wherever. It will be one of my favorite lands. It just always will be. But it can be a great land for people who don't have that emotional connection to Star Wars 2. It's a new Star Wars story. It's a different Star Wars story. And, you know, go and experience it. Go and have an open mind. I often am shocked, I don't know, just because this is not my personality, by some of the criticism of this land. And this one in particular sort of hit me off guard because I really and truly was wowed by it. So,
well, and two, the question I kept getting, because I was joking about it for a month beforehand, is like, did I get a lightsaber? No, I did not. Because, and I did have a listener who was going to get me in and all that, and I really appreciate that, Donna. Thank you so much. You know, just we had other things we need to spend the money on right now. And I mean, I think, you know, sometimes you just got to, I was lucky to get to go down, you know, and I pinched myself that I got this bonus trip, you know, four days, three nights down there and got to stay at one of my favorite resorts, Pop. It just wasn't in the cards. But did it diminish my experience in Galaxy's Edge not having a lightsaber or not having a droid? No, I love seeing people walking around with their lightsabers. And they even had a little section set up outside the droid depot where people were driving their droids on this like sport court.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like this, you know, flat land that we used to use for the skating rink, for like temporary skating rinks, like real flat so that the droids could kind of go. And now I've seen they're doing races.
That has been the big complaint is you can't let your droid out anywhere.
Yeah,
so that's new. And that's awesome that you can let your droid out and kind of roam around and interact with the other droids because
it's neat.
You know, there really was no other place to do that in the land, right? The way it was. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's smart, but isn't it? Because if you see it, your kid's going to want to make one. You know, it's like, it's common sense. And it's kind of fun because there's like a cast member there kind of just like helping everybody out and make sure everything's cool. So I like seeing that. Real quick too, I wanted to throw in my Oga's story. Okay.
Yes.
So I wasn't, also Donna, the listener had an Oga's reservation, was going to get me in. I wasn't sure exactly when I was going to be there. So this was the day I left because I had a 2 o'clock flight. So I went over to the studios early that morning, rode Rock and Roller. Plus I got a ton of fast passes like day of. I didn't go down with any fast passes. I rode Soarin'. I rode Test Track. I rode Rock and Roller Coaster that morning. You know, I did all the headliners. I did Space Mountain and Seven Dwarves. I did all kinds of stuff during this trip. But anyway, so I go over to the studios, ride Rock and Roller Coaster, and I was just going to soak in Galaxy's Edge and then head back and get on Magical Express. But I was walking past Oga's, you know, hadn't gone in it. And I was like, next trip I'll do that. That'll be fun. There was no line, and they were asking people to come in. This was at about 10 o'clock in the morning. They're like, you know, they're like out there with menus and stuff. I'm like, you know, the cast member comes up to me like, you want to come in? I'm like, well, what's the procedure? Like, is there how long do I got to wait? You know, and like, no, come on, let's go. I'm like, well, let's go. I thought I was getting in. So they take me in. This was another moment. Again, this is another moment like walking on the flight deck of the Millennium Falcon. I was like, I'm like at Mos Eisley. Like, I'm in the camp. Like, I'm going to lose an arm here. Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to chop off my arm sure as anything. It's that real. So I was being careful. I'm like looking for Han and, you know, making sure Greedo isn't going to shoot first. All this stuff. But I go in. I mean, the theming of that place, I love that it's tiny. Like, it is so cool. Like, oh my gosh, there's like smugglers. So anyway, I go in. I don't get a seat because most of it's standing. They tell you that on the way in. They say it's like 90% standing. I'm cool with that. I'm going to be sitting on an airplane for the next, you know, 3 hours. So we go in. I stand. You know, I totally feel like Han Solo or like some kind of smuggler because I'm just like standing at the table, you know, and hanging out. They give you the menu. It's so, here again, I'm kind of old and I have bad eyesight. They give you the menu. It's so dark in there. I can't read the menu really. So, and I don't want to be the old fart taking out the light on my cell phone. I'm scared that if I go against the Jedi Order and I would get my arm chopped off. You know, somehow, put that phone away, sucker. Chop my arm off. So I'm just kind of like looking at it. I can read one. It says it has tequila. So I'm like, that's it. It's the Outer Rim. I'm getting that. And I'm thinking, what am I doing ordering a drink with alcohol at 10 o'clock in the morning? Who cares? I'm in Oga's Cantina. Let's do it. And DJ Rex is up there. This is my DJ Rex for everybody's watching live on Facebook. His head bobs the whole time. His little hands giving it. And then all of a sudden the power goes out and they have to fix things. I mean, it's a whole show. God, that place was so fun. I didn't care that I spent $17 on a drink because I don't want my wife to hear. I know, right? I figured it's not the drink. It's the whole experience. I would not go in there to drink or eat because you would go broke in a blink. But I'm just saying, like, again, it took me to a place I'd seen in the movies, and it wasn't exactly, but it was in the spirit of the cantina from episode 4, which again, that's my generation. I'm not the prequels or the sequels. I'm episodes 4, 5, and 6 at heart. You know, I like the other ones, but wow. Like, so Pam, what did you think when you went into Ogus for the first time? I know we got to cut this short. We're running out of time, but I mean, I was so wowed, and I didn't care that I was paying that much for a drink at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Monday.
No, I really liked it too. I thought that it was like you, I felt really transported to that place. I felt like I was sort of in the movie. I thought the drinks were really interesting. I thought the bartenders were really great. They were willing to chat with things and try to get you in the mood. You're there with a bunch of other people who are there enjoying the same thing you are. And I love that about Disney World, that it brings people with, you know, certain, I don't know, you have a propensity for liking Star Wars, and you get to be there together with other people who feel the same. It's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, so. it's because again, I was solo, and especially that day, I wasn't with anybody, and so I went in. There was solo, yeah, right? I mean,
hey, well,
no, I'm just yeah, I was Hansel, yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, I went in. It was a good one.
Thank you.
But there was a family across the table from me, you know, a wife and a husband and like two kids, and so they got their drinks because they were in before me, so their drinks came out while I was waiting for mine. And they bring the kid this thing. It's like, it's almost like a test tube, and it's called the carbon freeze. And I mean, this thing is like bubbling, and like there's smoke coming out of the thing. And I'm telling the kid, I'm like, are you going to drink that? Like, you're going to put that in your insides? He's like, I don't know, man. This thing's got it. I'm like, no, I'm sure it's fine. But it was just like, again, it was so fun because again, right there, like Pam just said, we were all talking and we were cracking up, and I'm like, can I take a picture of your drink? Yeah. And so, you know, and I'm like, can you get a picture of me up at the bar with my drink? You know, and like, yeah. And so again, I walked in. So it's like the Skyliner. I walked in solo and made friends. And I think it's so, Disney's really making that easy to do with a lot of these new experiences. I think it really, it's fine to travel solo. Ricky, you travel solo a lot, but I think it's really easy to strike up conversations and not feel solo for very long. Mm-hmm.
That's true. It is. It absolutely is. I never feel alone when I'm on a Walt Disney World vacation solo. So that's the best part. I never feel alone. So
exactly. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, we're going long, so I don't want to go too long, but I just want to kind of get those extra thoughts in there. The bottom line is, you know, again, like I said, I was thinking about that when you're on a solo trip, you get more time to think than when you're with your family, because you're kind of always trying to keep everybody happy and make sure everybody's going in the right direction. But when we get to go down to these places, there's so much new stuff going on. You know, I didn't even talk about food and wine. We're going to have Chef Todd on. He wants to come on and talk about his hits from this year's festival. So we're going to do that here soon.
I had a great time at Mickey's Not So Scary.
Oh, yeah. Give a quick review of that real quick.
Oh, yeah. No, we did Not So Scary this year. I hadn't done it. I did it 2 years ago and decided I really wanted to do it again. And we had the best time at Not So Scary, Brian and I. You know, we got there. Well, we went and had dinner early. So we made a reservation for Trail's End and went and had dinner. And best idea ever is to have dinner before you go to the party. Totally. I mean, seriously, just stop. I know it's like, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but go have dinner before, you know, you go to the party, because it's going to make such a huge difference. So we did that. And then we went to the party, and, you know, again, it's really awesome to enter the party the way you're supposed to, instead of being in the park. But we were in the park that day, and the park was not busy at all. I mean, it was so uncrowded because there was a party that night, but since we had left to go get dinner, you know, we were coming back in, and they wind you through the path along the side, and there's just some special energy because you're going through the special path, and it's so much fun. We had decided, we kind of set up a game plan, and we decided we were going to hit a lot of the treat trails, so we did that first thing kind of as we were walking along. And first thing we did, we went straight to the Pirates of the Caribbean, and they have characters in the Pirates attraction. That was a lot of fun for the Halloween party. I thought it was really great. It was really cute how they did it. And they did a really good job with it. So I enjoyed that very much. Then we did a lot of the treat trails. We decided, and we did the thing that normally you don't do, but we made the executive decision to wait for the first parade. So we waited about an hour for the first parade. Wow. But really, honestly, I wanted a really good view. We waited in Frontierland, and we just had the best time. We got to see, as we were in Frontierland, we got to see Br'er Bear and Br'er Rabbit, and they were having a good old time. And they were wandering like characters used to do, you know, which was awesome. We got to experience that. There was just this fantastic moment with Bear Bear, and he got the tape stuck to his paw on his foot. And there's video on the Mouserless and the Beer Guest Podcast Instagram. And it was so much fun watching that. But we stopped and did the Cadaver Dance, which was awesome as well. They did a fantastic show. Make sure you stop for them. I think they perform every hour on the half hour in Frontierland. So make sure you stop and see them. But we waited for the first parade. Had a great view of the Headless Horseman, so that was good. We headed right around and got a spot for the fireworks. Now this was why I say this was the best idea, and it's because we were in Frontierland or Liberty Square watching the parade. As we made our way around for the fireworks to get our spot, the parade was still passing through on Main Street USA. So we got our spot while everybody else was still watching the parade. So we had a prime location right there in front of Walt and Mickey. Exactly. And so we had the best view. I couldn't see the Jack Skellington puppet, but we had the best view of the show overall. I don't love Not So Scary, Not So Spooky Spectacular as much as I love Hallowishes. I like Hallowishes more. I think the show is fine, but it's not the same as Hallowishes, and you know, but that's my problem. So it's a good show. It's not as bad as maybe Epcot Forever. But
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Mike's watching the game. It's fine. So I had a great location for that, and then we decided to go and do some of the other attractions. And I have to tell you, I did Space Mountain, and Space Mountain does a special thing for the party as well. They do it in the dark. And when I tell you they do it in the dark, I mean the whole thing is in the dark. Like, I went in there and there might have been some like, because it was like, whoa, this was intense. Like, this was super, super. What the?
Keep going.
Mike's dancing in there. It was super, super intense. Like, riding Space Mountain in the dark, completely ridiculously intense. So I highly suggest, if you could ever ride Space Mountain in the dark, do it, because it is insane. We went and watched the Villain Spectacular show at midnight, which I think is the perfect time to do that. There were not a lot of people there. We got in the spot, pretty decent view, 10 minutes early. It was great. We had the best time. The best timing on things, and honestly, it was, like I said, it was one of the best Halloween parties I've been to in a very, very, very long time, just timing wise. So yeah.
And look at you, because you know what you're doing, and that's just it's a fun time. I was torn, because that Sunday night I could have gone to the Halloween party, but I was trying to save money. So
no, I get it. And like I said, you know, most of the time we tell people go see the second parade, and this time I went against my advice and it really panned out. So you know, and I, like I said, I didn't ride a lot of attractions, which I know a lot of people like to do during the party. I went there specifically for the party things. I didn't meet the characters because I didn't want to spend an hour or two in line waiting for characters. Characters weren't my thing. So I didn't do that. But the things I got to do, I mean, they were very party specific. You're not going to get to see everything. We had a great time. We had so much fun. So both Brian and I did. We both have been talking about how much fun we had at the party. So
you feel like you got your money's worth.
I definitely felt like I got my money's worth. I'm sorry. I got so distracted while I'm trying to talk about your
playoff baseball in October during a podcast is dangerous.
I rambled like crazy during my description of my party experience, because I'm just sitting here. You guys have to go back and watch the video on either Facebook or YouTube, because there's just and I'm like trying not to laugh my butt off. So
just for those that are listening here on Friday, it was when Molina got the game winning hit against the Braves and I flossed.
Oh my God. I'm happy because I may get lunch on the deal. We'll still see. I've got either lunch for me, or I have to make somebody cookies. So I'm really hoping I get lunch out of this deal. So
that's it. Well, you know, in wrapping up the show, you know, Walt Disney World's a great place. So many new experiences. And it finally, you know, it really truly is what you make of it. You know, you can see things from the sunny side, or you can see things, you know, with the cloud over it. And I always tend to see things sunny side up, you know, because it's just there's a lot of people don't get to do these fun things. And, you know, things are expensive sometimes. Things break down sometimes. Things might not meet your expectations 100% all the time. But all in all, this is a great thing. It's why we have the podcast. I love talking. It's why I did that last Friday podcast, because I wasn't traveling with anybody. I had to tell these things to somebody because I was having such a good time. So I recorded it, you know. And thank you for hanging with me and listening to that last Friday, because it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo off the top of my head. But it's a fun thing. And I hope you enjoyed just some tips, some thoughts today. You know, we kind of laid it out and just had a different show. And, you know, it's what happens during playoff baseball in October in St.
Louis. Yes, Mike yells and I get distracted.
That's it. All right, so we're going to wrap it up with today's show. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast family. Really, our friends down at Walt Disney World, friends all around the world, make this what it is. So thank you so much for always taking the time to listen. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Great specials out there right now for early 2020. There's a Gift of Magic Room offer. There's a kids free dining offer. There's gift cards, there's annual pass offers, there's Disney Visa offers over at the Riviera, all kinds of stuff. Easiest thing to do, drop by themagicforless.com, check out all the great specials while you're there, fill out that free no-obligation quote form. An agent will get back to you right away, and you'll be planning that next Disney trip and saving money to boot, which you can use to buy a $17 drink at Olga's Cantina, like me, getting out of rim. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com, and also don't forget we have our old sponsor back. They're back here because they have a new product, and it says... this episode brought to you by our friends over at Milk Snob, originally seen on ABC's Shark Tank. Milk Snob can now be found at Target, or Target as we call it. Bye Bye Baby, that's called. I thought it was Best Buy Baby. I'm like, Best Buy Baby, that'd be a weird concept, like kids and computers. No, it's Bye Bye Baby. Sorry, I hope they're not listening. Nordstrom, their own online site and over 300 retailers around the world. The original 5-in-1 cover can be used as a cover for infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. They even offer magical and galactic prints through their Disney and Star Wars partnerships in covers, blankets, crib sheets, and more. Today, they've launched the Star Wars Little Explorers. This new print features iconic characters from the Rebel Alliance and the Empire against a cool gray background. Exclusively for our listeners, they're offering 20% off. So head over to milksnob.com to use the code BRGUEST20. Again, that's milksnob.com. Use the code BOURGUEST20. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BRGUESTMIKE and at BRGUESTPOD. And drop by the Facebook page at facebook.com/BOURGUESTPODCAST. All right, we're going to be back again on Monday with another great show. And again, we appreciate you being a part of the podcast family. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Friday and an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.